The rest of us can turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. We've had a great morning already, and I am excited about this morning. I'm excited about this evening. We're going to start winding down our series on the ascending Psalms, and I just hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning and this evening. I can't be a blessing to you if you're not here. So help me to be a blessing to you, okay? That's all I can say, and I trust that it will be a great day. Luke chapter 20 in our Bibles, and it would help if the preacher got there, wouldn't it? And we are going to be reading verses 27 to 40. Quieting the Questioning is the name of it's the title of our message this morning. You know, you read the Bible, and the more you read it, the more you realize this could not have been a book just written by men. And you learn also that Jesus just couldn't have been another man. I'll be honest with you, even if he hasn't resurrected from the dead, which we're going to learn about this morning, we would find that you'd still say he had to be more than a man. And one of the ways we find that out is in the wisdom that Jesus has and how he answers questions. Let's read Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 40 this morning, and I hope that I can be a help to you this morning. And it's really, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not going to be me. It'll be the Holy Spirit that's the help to you. If somebody's going to be a help to you, it's sure going to be the Holy Spirit, okay? Verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren. And the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the living, not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. In other words, in the name of the Lord, he quieted the questioning. And we're going to see what happened here. And as we take a bigger look at what's going on here, I hope that this morning can be a help to you this morning. And I'm probably going to answer a question. Of all the questions that have been asked me as a pastor, this has to be a top 10, which I'm going to answer. When it says that there's neither marriage nor giving in marriage, what does that mean? Will I not recognize my spouse that I was married to for 75 years? Well, I'm going to answer that for you. But maybe not in the way you want me to. So we'll see here in just a second. You know, I've learned in life that sometimes questions are not asked to get an answer. Sometimes questions are asked to make a statement. And if you ever want to see this in action, I'd like to not think of myself as a geek, but one of the things I like to do every now and then is watch C-SPAN. How many of you would rather have your fingernails pried out than watch C-SPAN? I understand, and I get that. But I've always enjoyed government, a little bit of politics, and I'll watch them. And I was watching one even this week, and it was supposed to be a question and answer, but it was, I want a simple yes or no. And what was asked couldn't be said in a yes or no. It simply couldn't be. All the congressman was trying to do, or the senator was trying to do, was make a statement. That's what's going on here with the Sadducees in our account this morning. Now, if you look over chapter 20, do you know what we find in chapter 20? That's thus far in chapter 20, it's been nothing but questions. That's all that's been going on. It started with asking Jesus. Remember, he turned over the money changers' tables. He did all sorts of things. And they asked him at the very beginning of the chapter, under whose authority do you do this? Well, we don't have enough time to go over everything, but Jesus made it very clear. He had called it my Father's house, which made him the son. In John chapter 2, he called it his own house. So clearly they weren't listening. Well, then you go from that to Jesus. Then he told a parable, verses 9 through 18. And from that, the Pharisees knew that Jesus was talking about them when he told it. So then there was a second question that was asked. Do we pay taxes to Caesar? They thought that was a gotcha question. Well, he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. And we talked about that again. We won't go into that. But now we have a third question. This is a question the Sadducees are asking about the resurrection. It is an extremely ridiculous question. It was a question about a woman whose husband, there were seven brothers. She married the one brother, and then she didn't have a child with any of them. So that when they went to heaven, the resurrection, who was she married to? Well, let me just say this. Had I been one of those brothers, I'd have said no thank you. Because all the others are dying. But I will say, thank you, Ann. I appreciate that. Maybe I won't pick on you as much with that. But they weren't asking a question. They were trying to make a point. You see, the Sadducees, we are told, among other things, they did not believe in the resurrection. This was an elite group, and let me explain something about them. They did not believe in the supernatural. They would not believe in the resurrection of Christ, obviously because they didn't believe in the resurrection in general. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything supernatural. This is important, and I want you to listen. The only thing they thought was the Word of God were the first five books, the Pentateuch, the Torah, all written by Moses. Now, that's about to come back and haunt them. But of course, Jesus knew that the Sadducees believed that, okay? So they ask this ridiculous question, and it's from that they're trying to make Jesus look bad. Now, it talks about a woman, she marries a brother, and then he dies, and they're childless. And then she marries the other brother, and so on. This is the law. There's another name for it, but some of you might remember this. It's the law of the kinsman redeemer. We find that in the book of Ruth. How many of you know the book of Ruth? Where she married because it was a succession, and so she married him. So they're bringing that up, which is found in the book of Deuteronomy. So that they were bringing up something in the Old Testament that was biblical. So as we go through this, he's about to put water on their party. He's about to put rain on their parade, if you will. Okay? So he's going through this, and he says in verse 35, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. So he's saying this, that in the resurrection, relationships are not going to be the same. My daughter, my oldest daughter, is 30. And she hasn't had any children yet. And she does, she might have some medical issues, we're not sure, but she doesn't have a child. So at Christmas, in our neighborhood, she and I just ended up taking a walk together. And I'm like, and I've avoided the subject, but I'm like, I finally look at her and go, when are you giving me a grandchild? She said, well, my husband's kind of warmed up to the idea. I said, warmed up? He better get cracking. I said, we need some more grandbabies. And I said to her, I said, what was the first command that he gave Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, I realize there are people who can't have children, and in the Old Testament, they used to think that was a curse of God, which it isn't. Anybody who thinks that, I understand that. But the idea was procreation. Do you realize that in the resurrection, there's not going to be any more children? There's not going to be any more procreation. The first thing, the first function, and I realize there's a whole lot of other great things that come with it. I understand that, but that was the first thing. So he's saying in this, the relationship is going to be different. Now I'm going to get into a whole lot more than that, but we're just going verse by verse right now, and I'm going to make some points to help you out, okay? And to help me out, okay? He says in verse 36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now, what's it say? Well, the book of Hebrews teaches us in some other places that we're actually superior to angels, and we certainly are, because we have a relationship with God that they'll never have. So what does he mean by equal with the angels? Well, what he's talking about here is a supernatural presence. You and I will not have the same bodies that we have now. Can we all say amen to that? We're going to have what we call glorified bodies. Okay, so the idea is we're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to have glorified bodies. So we're not, though our souls, they don't change. Everything else is going to. Is everybody following me with this? I hope so. So he goes on here and he says, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he's getting in their wheelhouse. He said, you don't think that the resurrection is in the first five books? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Would you do that in your Bibles? Genesis and then Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. I want to show you something. This is when the Lord meets with Moses at the burning bush. Okay. It says in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Notice verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Look at verse 6 again. He said, I am, the God of thy father, Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Do you know, look here. What did he not say? I was the God. He said, I am the God. Well, these guys had already died. Well, how can he be their God if they're dead? No. That verse right there, and we'll see some other things here in just a couple of minutes, among other things that it tells us. By his very name, we know that there is a resurrection. But he said about these three, Jesus has just blown their whole doctrine. He said, you want to go by the first five of the books of the Bible? That's fine. We'll go by the first five books of the Bible. I will prove to you there's a resurrection. Because God spoke in the present tense. We'll get to that in just a second. He said, I am. He never stopped being their God. Why? Because there was a resurrection. Okay? So we go through this scripture, okay, to demonstrate that he is. And they found out, as a matter of fact, that it was. And so he goes on, back in Luke chapter 20, he goes on in this. He says, for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, okay? For all live unto him. Isn't it interesting? In verse 39, then said of the scribes, answering, Master, thou hast what said. And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. Do you remember they marveled when he answered the last question? Here, they can't believe how it was. And then you know what the Bible says? They decided, you know what? We're just not going to ask him any more questions. Because he makes us look foolish every time we do. But you know what the problem was? Listen here. Jesus was blowing up their preconceived notions. Do you know there are people in this room, you have preconceived notions about God, about what the Bible says? Here's one of the favorites. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Chapter and verse, please. The very need of salvation, I have nothing to do with. All I do is receive the gift. Are you kidding me? Now, does obedience bring blessing? Does obedience bring blessing? Sure it does. But the Lord helps those who help themselves? Goodness, I hope not. God is good to me regardless. You know, I've left on that sign because I like it so much. Even on our worst days, God still loves his children. God is good to me because he loves me, because that's a part of it. But we come to church with preachers. Some people get saved thinking they're never going to have a problem. Your problem just started. Because now you have an enemy that was not bothering you half as much as he's going to bother you now. His name is the devil. We come with all sorts of ideas. But here Jesus is. He said, okay, you're a Bible literalist to these Sadducees? Okay. And by the way, isn't it interesting? He brought in the angels too. Again, they didn't believe in super... The Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. So now he's whammed them by number one, proving to them from the Bible that there is a resurrection in the Old Testament, in the first five books. And then he also talks about angels. And they said, you know what? I think we'll be better off if we just let him alone. I want to give you three truths this morning from our scripture that I hope will help you. I hope they'll help you as much as they help me. Number one, I want you to get this. Number one, well, let's see if we have, I don't know, okay. Number one, the very name of God speaks of eternal life. What was the name of God in Exodus chapter 3? If you go down a little farther, he says, I am that I am. Here's what you need to know. And we've covered a little bit of this in the past, but let me just go over it with you. No, God is constant. God created time and space. God created them. He does not live in them like you and I do. He lives outside of them. To God, everything is the present, from beginning to end. I've used this illustration before, and I've had people tell me it helped them. This is you and me. Now, I never want to go, ever, to Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Ever. What is it? People go there to get a place to stand, and they wear diapers because there's no place to go to the bathroom. Of course, in New York, they just go to the bathroom wherever they want to. But we'll leave that out. But imagine being there, and we're standing right there by Macy's, and they're coming by one by one. That's life for you and us. God is up on the Empire State Building, and he sees the whole thing from start to finish. You see, to God, there is no past. There is no future. There's only now. You said, Pastor, my head is hurting. I understand that. But if it didn't hurt, he wouldn't be much of a God, would he? God is always in the present. He said, I am that I am. The name Yahweh, the name Jehovah, which is very important for you and I. This was a ridiculous question, but he's answering it by talking about his name. He did not say, I was the God of Abraham. He said, I am. He is our God. He is our God in the future. But to him, it's all the same. So for you and I to understand God, we have to understand this about him, is that he is always present. He is always there. And by the way, can I say this to you? You know, he talked about when you get saved and you trust Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that he's taken our sin and part as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed it. We find out that it's gone to the depths of the sea. He said he will remember it no more. See, God just sees his children where they are and where they're going to be. The Bible says that we are seated, those who know Christ as our Savior, we are seated in heavenly places. Do you understand? When you got saved, God saw you in heaven. We're just waiting to catch up. That's what we're doing. We are seated in heavenly places. And God says it's just a matter of time. What a wonderful truth that is, that there is a God in heaven, and his very name gives us the idea of eternal life. Okay, secondly, here's what I want you to get. The resurrection is different. The resurrection is different. It's a world without death. You see, the afterlife is in most every religion. Do you know in one of the pyramids, when they went down into one of the tombs, do you know what they found? They found a boat. Well, that's like you know, you're taking a U-Haul to the to the graveyard, right? Not going to do them much good. But they believed in an afterlife that the Pharaoh was going to be traveling on a river in the afterlife. So they gave him a boat. You see, most every civilization believes in an afterlife. Now, there is going to be two resurrections. There's going to be the resurrection. Well, actually, there's going to be more than that, but we're going to keep it basic this morning. There's going to be a resurrection of the just. Well, how are we justified? We are justified by Christ when he died on the cross. Justified, determined, legally determined, not guilty. Why? Because of Christ's shed blood. There will be the resurrection of the just who will go to what's called the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not about punishments. It's about rewards or not getting rewards. Okay? And we spend eternity with him. The unjust, those who have never trusted Christ as their Savior, they will go to a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that judgment, everyone that goes there will be found guilty. Guilty of their sin. The Bible makes it very clear that they will be judged by their works. And no man who is judged by his works will be justified. It is the work of Christ that gets us to heaven. Okay? I believe just as there are different rewards in heaven, and I believe I can justify this through Scripture, I believe there are different levels of hell. Okay? And where someone is placed in hell is determined by their life, by their opportunity, by several factors. So they will go to the Great White Throne Judgment. And the Bible says they will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, I also believe believers will be there to see it. And to be very honest with you, it breaks my heart to see people who refuse to trust Christ as their Savior. But do you want to know what I think is even more tragic? Believers who don't have a burden for those people. I think that's far more tragic. We know the truth. But they will go, but there's going to be two resurrections. The resurrection Jesus is talking about is for life and for him. Now, this life is going to be different. And what my son, who's an assistant pastor, I talked to him this week, and we were just talking about things. He goes, I just came back from seeing Keith. Well, I know who Keith was, a good man in his church. If Keith is not with the Lord right now, I'd be surprised. But it was my son's last goodbye to Keith, who was a friend who had been a great helper to my son at the church there. And we look at that and we say we think it's hard to imagine eternal life with Jesus. But may I say this to you? The Christians who are not excited about the resurrection and eternal life with Christ are the very people who are not living by faith in this life. Because to live by faith in the Christian life is the most exciting way to live. I was telling our class this morning, I debated, I try not to, but listen, if God blesses my life, I think you ought to know about it. I want to testify just like you should. When God's good to me, and I shared how God met a real that he is going to rise from the grave. They didn't even realize it. And he's trying to show them these things. This is the promise Moses heard at the burning bush. Jesus, in the next few days, would be crucified. It's just an amazing truth that what we see here. Now, the people do not marry like angels. Earthly institutions are temporary. You see, God ordained three institutions in the world. Okay? Marriage is the first one. Okay, if you want to call it the family. He instituted the family. Then he instituted the government. Okay, government. And we talked about that last week when he talked about the inscription on the coin. And he said, render to Caesar's what is Caesar's. He was defending the institution of government there that God had created. But then the third institution is the church. So three institutions there. And guess what? In the resurrection, there's no need for the family anymore. We have glorified bodies. It's over. Number two, the government's no longer necessary because God is in control. Amen? He'll be sitting on the throne. Jesus will be sitting on the throne. And the third thing, the church will have all come together and we'll be worshiping Him. It's going to be completely different in this time. We will have a new glorified existence. But can I say this to you? I cannot imagine life without Sandy. Can't imagine. Before I left, she'd put in Tupperware scrambled eggs and bacon, and then one with scrambled eggs and sausage, and then one with scrambled eggs and sausage and bacon. And she had gotten me my... Seth, what'd she get me, Seth? Frozen pizzas. She had made me fried chicken before she left. She did all these things so that all I had to do... She even bought me pods for our... What do you call it? What's it called? Keurig. We have the one with the pot and the individual. She'd even bought me pots so I didn't have to make a whole pot. Can you imagine, Fran? Does she spoil me? I say no, I'm worth it. But no, I'm kidding. I can't imagine. And some of you have been through it. So, why would he say something that we would say we wouldn't look forward to? Well, it's a lack of understanding. My oldest grandchild, my grandson, he is 6 or 7 years old and he understands heaven, he understands hell. And my son and daughter-in-law are talking to him about being saved. And this is what he says. But where are you going to be? I don't want to leave you. That's understandable for a 6 or 7 year old, right? To think that. Lord's going to have to work on his heart. And we look at our spouses and we say, well, how can it be better there? Understand that our relationship is now with Jesus. It's going to be better than anything we could have ever imagined, folks. The resurrection is different. You and I will have that beautiful relationship with Him. We enjoy life now, but we are looking to the future. You see, because it's going to be so much more wonderful. You know, we struggle of thinking of living in a different realm. The idea that life isn't going to be this way. Yet we contradict ourselves by loving the idea of no more sorrows, no more tears, no more night. We love that idea because we can do it. But the reason that is going to happen is because we are going to have the glorified bodies. That's what he was talking about with the angels. But we're also going to have the fullness of relationship being with Jesus. And may I say, if that does not excite you, you do not know enough about our Savior. I think you look at Luke chapter 16, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. I believe we will know who they are. Because the rich man was in hell and still remembered that he had brothers that were still alive. Okay? I can't say that is the strongest evidence, but I do believe we will know relationships, but here's the only thing. The only relationship that's going to matter is the one that we have with Jesus, because he's the one who we're going to be serving and we're going to be worshiping. What a wonderful truth we can have. In hell, God is absent. To those saved, he is personal. You notice that he named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? You say, well, of course. They were the patriarchs of the Jewish faith. I would say to you that he knows every one of us by our first name. He knows us better than everybody else. It will be a personal life. He knows where they are. What a wonderful truth that this is. Imagine the feeling of your greatest moments in life. Maybe hitting the home run. I've told the story in Little League, and it was my final year, and man, there were a lot of expectations on me, and I gladly took them, and I started the season stinking it up. Then I hit my first home run of the year, and there was my dad standing up with his arms raised, cheering me home. By the way, what a picture of heaven, huh? Remember hitting that home run or that other thing you did. Remember saying, I do. You say, yeah, that was a great moment, smile. Holding your child for the first time. Seeing a sunset on your favorite trip. My oldest daughter worked in Southern California, in Orange County, for a year. And I went out to help her buy a car, and I took 5 days to do it. Bless her heart, in one day she had the car picked out, it was a good deal. I had 4 days to do nothing but have fun. There was a milkshake and a burger place right on a cliff on Pacific Coast Highway. And if you didn't get there early enough, the line would go out 20, 30 cars deep. Were the milkshakes good? They were. Were the burgers good? No, they were tolerable. That's not why people went there. Because you'd sit there on that cliff and you'd watch the sunset over the Pacific Ocean. It was glorious. I said, Tiffany, after the first, I said, this isn't the only time we're coming. We went back one more time and I sent Sandy pictures. Brittany, do you know what she texted me back when I sent her those pictures? I hate you. Come home. That's what she said to me. I can still see those sunsets, and I've been out there a few more times to see them again, but think of that. Think of that time when you won something that you worked so hard for, or when you said I do, or when you held that baby for the first time, or you saw that sunset, or you saw something else. Think of the most satisfying moments in your life and multiply that by a million, a billion, and it won't even start. That's what it will be like to be with our Savior. Randy Alcorn, who wrote a book on heaven, this is what he said. In heaven, we'll finally experience life at its best. The resurrection is different. It's far beyond anything you and I could imagine. So the idea of neither marriage or giving in marriage is something that people trip over, but what they're forgetting is what is there. The relationship is totally different. The function is totally different. But can I say we have much kingdom work to do here now? Amen. Thirdly, the resurrection is our hope. The resurrection is our hope. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We were talking in our class this morning about the brevity of life, how short life really is, and how eternity is forever. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is known as the resurrection chapter. I have no doubt that in a few months at Easter, we will see this chapter again. But I want to read a few verses to you this morning about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 3, please. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Folks, that's the gospel, okay? "And that He was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12." Now I want you to go to... we're going to keep on. "After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Now, I want you to go to verse 12. "Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Who was Paul writing that to? The Sadducees. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Okay? "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they that also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Now I want you to go to verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The resurrection is our hope. Jesus is showing us that not only is the resurrection real, the resurrection is the end to every issue that we have. Can I say, first of all, for you and I, the resurrection is our declaration. It is our declaration that Jesus died, He was buried, and that He rose from the grave shows it is a declaration that Jesus is God. Okay, that Jesus is God. He said He'd raise Himself up. The Bible says that God raised Him up. The Bible says that Jesus raised Himself up. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit raised Him up by the power of the Holy Spirit. How can that be? They're all God. He is our hope. Listen, Jesus is God. Eternity is real. Eternity is real because Jesus rose from the grave and he ascended into heaven where he said he would come back and get us. It is a declaration that death can be overcome. That death in this life can be overcome. What a wonderful truth to know that this is not all there is and it only gets better. It's not only a declaration, it is a confrontation. It is a confrontation showing that Jesus was needed to die on that cross because we are sinners and somebody had to pay for our sin. And whatever good works we would try to do, they're not good enough. However many times you come to church, I'm here, there is nobody other than Jesus happier to see you here than me. But may I say to you, you coming to church isn't getting you to heaven. Yet stirring those baptismal waters, it's the very first step of obedience for the Christian. But those waters won't get you to heaven. It's Jesus. It is a declaration. The resurrection is a declaration that we are sinners. It's a declaration that He is God. Okay? But it's also the confrontation that we need to be saved. That Jesus paid the price. And the question is, have we trusted Him? But it's also an invitation. It's open to those who will accept it. He didn't pick who would go to heaven and who wouldn't. He said, whosoever. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Any. All. Whoops. And fourthly, can I say this? It is a celebration. Do you know when you'll become faithful if you're not already? Do you know when you'll start serving like you should if you're not already? Do you know when you will give sacrificially if you're not already? When you realize that your labor and your service are not in vain. When you realize that your struggles and your sacrifice and your service are not in vain because there's something so much better ahead. We look at the resurrection. And Jesus told them, he goes, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He was saying he's gone and he's coming back. The idea of the resurrection, 1 Thessalonians tells us that when Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with Him. And then the Bible says this, to be with Him forever. Amen. That ought to stir your heart. That ought to encourage you. You know, I'm so glad, Ann, that you beat cancer. Something's going to get you. You say that's mean. It's not mean. Is it true? But it's what's ahead. I'm going to miss her. I know she prays for me. And then I'm going to have to find somebody else to pick on, Hunter. I don't know who it's going to be yet. I got to figure out. Of course, you live next door to her, so maybe the parties will move to your house. I don't know. It's our hope. Why? Listen. I know we're supposed to do it for Jesus. I understand that. But sometimes we do something kindly for someone and they don't acknowledge it or they don't appreciate it. And you know why we do it? For Jesus. You know what? There's a reward coming. You might not have even gotten a thank you. They might not be appreciative. Somebody might have lied about you or done whatever they did or didn't come through or whatever the case is. It's okay. Resurrection is coming. Our relationship is new. And I've told this story, but please bear with me. Because in my own life, this has been something that has helped me so much. As I have been studying and thinking about heaven and thinking about all these kind of things. And my wife had a twin sister that passed away. And she had two wonderful children. Wonderful children. One of them is an assistant pastor at a church in California. The other one was a nurse, but now she's raising 3-4 kids, and just they're wonderful children. And the daughter, her name is Rachel. And when Rachel graduated from high school, we happened to be there, and my mother-in-law, who obviously misses her, and said to Sandy, said, "Oh, I'm sure Susan is looking down and is so proud of Rachel." Me being theologically correct and being as insensitive as somebody could possibly be, I said, "I don't think Susan could care less about what just happened. She's with Jesus." And fellas, how many of you know when your wife gives you the look? I didn't even have to look. I could feel the heat scorching the side of my face. Again, theologically accurate. I believe that. But very insensitive. But the point is this. I don't think she cared. You say, well, that was her daughter and all that kind of stuff. I think she was enjoying Jesus. I'm going to enjoy Jesus. I don't know what the end of my life is going to look like. And Sandy and I have had these conversations. I've just said, look, I haven't gotten the report yet, the bad report yet. So we'll see, won't we? See if I back up what I've been, if I practice what I preach, Chris. We'll see. But I want to love him enough in this life that I'd rather be in the next. So he says to him, he goes, the resurrection's there. It's there. He said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Well, that can only mean one thing. They're still alive. Okay, you and I understand the resurrection is our hope. I've had a good week, minus my wife. I wish she was here, but overall I've had a pretty good week. Had some spiritual victories, had some personal victories, had some things. It's been a good week. My Carrie mentioned that he had good devotions this week. I had some good devotions this week, some things that have helped me. Had a good week. But who knows what's going to happen this week and when the struggles come and the difficulties show up. See? But I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to have that spiritual body. And it's going to be wonderful. Yeah, the resurrection. Folks, have you thought about it? When's the last time you really thought about who Jesus is? Heaven. Thought about these things that we're talking about. The very best moments of your life pale in comparison to what every moment with Jesus will be. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that.